and we continue with our series, The Cost of Our Calling. And our text is from the book of Matthew, chapter 16, verses, I'm going to read from verse 24 to 26. When God called us to do His will. Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 to 26. Then Jesus said to His disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. And whoever wants to save their lives will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their souls?" My text this evening is, then Jesus said to His disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." Let us pray as we continue in worship in the house of the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you because we are called to have a new life, to see the things that we were unable to see because of our sin. Thank you because we know that all of us has a calling. All of us has a ministry. All of us have something to do for you. So, Father, as we read your word, we pray that may your Holy Spirit help us to see what is it that we are to do for you, and help us to understand what is the meaning to be your disciple. So, Father, into your place we place our time together because we come in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Last year, I have on the newspapers, there was an article about school introduced no mornings policy for tired teenagers. And this is real, okay? School introduced a 1:30 p.m. start for sleepy A-level students. So Hampton Court House becomes the first school in the country in England to allow six formers to start classes in the afternoon to get a lie-in. And then I was reading the paper. This was something, you know, you carry on reading. They said, Mr. Holloway was one of the people that was interviewed. He said, "As I drove to a school this morning, I saw a whole line of teenagers with bleary eyes staggering like zombies along the pavement to another school. We have all seen it. For some reasons, we all put up with it. Then we wonder why teenagers are prone to being grouchy and uncommunicative. He added, "There is now more and more scientific evidence to support what many parents and teachers have known for years. The fact is that many teenagers do not sleep sufficiently during the week, and this can and often does have a significant impact on teenage cognition and mental and physical health generally." He said, "Teenagers are not lazy. It's rare that I meet a teenager who is not full of hope and excitement about the future. So why do we berate them when they struggle to get up in the morning in an attempt to override their circadian rhythms? Why we do this?" That is real. And I think they started it. That's to be a student. And they felt sorry for the students and they tried to make their lives easier. What about being a disciple of Jesus? Do we have to do something to scientific evidence or whatever? Christ showed His disciples something And today, I want to touch on something that is called the principle of discipleship. When Christ called his disciples, this was the word of command, follow me. A true disciple of Christ is one that do follow him in duty and shall follow him to glory. He is the one who comes after Christ, not the one who said, Christ, let's do it this way, like Peter. You remember Peter all the time said, no, Lord, don't do that, do this. Most of the time, Peter was like that. And sometimes it looked like these students, that they try to teach their teachers what to do or not to do. A follower of Christ, we are to come after him as the sheep after the shepherd. The servant after his master. The soldiers after their captain. And he is one that aims at the same end that Christ aimed at. The glory of God and the glory of heaven. But we live in a day of casual Christianity. Casual Christians are those who want to be numbered among the flock. And we have cozy times on Sundays. Preach sermons about love. Jesus is love. I wonder why these students, well, they have to sleep earlier and they will be fresh in the morning. And sometimes everything goes wrong because sometimes, have you seen that picture of children going to their parents to do some shopping, and when a child wants something and they want it, and it's like sometimes I'm more scared than their parents, and they want it, and after a while they have a tantrum and then they are on the floor. Have you seen that picture? Maybe you experienced that. And that is the picture I have when I have this article from the newspaper. And sometimes Christianity could be like that. We want God to do as we want him to do. We want that kind of discipleship. Now, if anyone will come after me, he says, we are not allowed to come after God on our own terms. We must come to him on his terms. To those who have no place, just okay, I want to follow Jesus Christ, but I want him to do it this way. Not. So today, if anyone desires to follow Jesus, this is what he or she must do. First, he says, let him or her deny himself or herself. Peter had advised Christ to spare himself. He said, no, you are not going to die, master. You are my rabbi. You know, why are you... Let me do it. And Jesus says, I have to do it. So the first thing is the disciple is called to lay something down, deny himself. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. Now, that is important to understand that Jesus does not mean that what we usually think Easter time, say, I'm going to give up chocolate. I'm going to give up fish and chips. I'm going to give up McDonald's, if you like McDonald's. This is not what Jesus is talking about here. When he says, lay something down. He is not only concerned with what we do, but even more importantly, what we are. Therefore, it's not denying something, but it said, deny himself or herself. And this word is the same word that we read when Peter denied Jesus before the people that said, you were with him. And he said, no, I don't know. It's the same word. And now the phrase deny himself literally means to completely disown, to utterly separate oneself from someone. And now, the disciple is to utterly disown himself or herself, to refuse to acknowledge the self of the old man. Like this morning I was saying that when Christ is on the cross, is because we are on the crown of ourselves. But when we put ourselves on the cross, Jesus is ruling our lives. So if we don't crucify the I of me because we love God with all our heart in our neighbor, it doesn't matter how good we could be with other people. He's saying this, like 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 3, if I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to the hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. So when I deny myself, when I lay my life before him, it's because I love him. Let's try to see. We are to count the old man as being dead. Like Romans 6:11 says, we don't exist anymore. To deny oneself means to follow the example set forth by the Lord Jesus Christ himself in coming to this world. The phrase deny himself literally means to completely disown, to utterly separate oneself from someone. Now, let me try to put it simple. And you remember when Jesus was about to be trapped, they wanted to say something, so they will condemn. In Matthew chapter 22, we have this picture of they coming to Jesus and they say, shall we pay taxes or not? So here, Jesus said, show me the coin that you use for the tax. So when they handed him a Roman coin, he asked, whose picture and title are stamped on it? So they said, Caesar's. They replied, well then, he said, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. So on that coin was Caesar, so have to be given to Caesar. But then in my mind, I said, it should be a mirror there. And then he says, give to God what belongs to God. When you surrender your life to Jesus, when I surrender my life to Jesus, I have to give what belongs to God, my life, completely. So the disciple needs to understand that I need to lay down my life. Thank you for the worship today. Because I want you to take the picture of the coin when Jesus is saying, this belongs to Caesar. But what belongs to God is your life. And this is my life, and I give it completely to him. I don't live anymore. It belongs to him. Okay, I have my dreams, I have my desires. My culture shaped my life. But I just give it to him. I didn't put the paper. I used to have very, very bad temper. And when I joined the Navy, I was in training almost 3 years. And the first question my mom used to ask me, are you okay coming back home? I said, no, I'm okay. Thinking, but when I was in my training is when I get closer to God. And he shaped my character in my life, because I started to understand that I have to lay down my life. Maybe you struggle, and then life, the culture tells us something different. In the culture I was living, it was quite normal that a man should have 3 or 4 women. Being a man that was having only one wife, like my case, he was seen like a weak man. But I got closer to God. My culture was saying something different. But my Lord was asking me to be different. And I struggled. I cried. It was normal for all the sailors to go to the nightclubs. You understand? The culture could tell us something. But when Jesus says, give to God what belongs to God, it's our lives. And perhaps that Ecuadorian boy growing up, it was normal for them to be living like that. But I was a new creation. If you and me want to decide to follow Jesus, the second thing on this passage is let him or her to take up his or her cross. Now, secondly, the disciple is called to lift something up. Late your life and lift something up. Take up his cross. If anyone decides to come after me, let him take up his cross. But the problem is, to understand what this cross refers to, we need to talk about what is not. What is not? You know, some people said, oh, my cross is my husband. He's not a believer. You are carrying that cross. My cross is my wife because she doesn't believe. You're carrying that cross. My cross is my horrible neighbor. You're carrying that cross. My cross are my works, my fellow workers. That is not. What Jesus is saying here is that the cross is not a place of suffering, it's a place of death. Shall we say that together? The cross is not a place of suffering, it's a place of death. Oh, I'm carrying my cross are my children because they don't be. No, that is not. Because when Jesus says, take up your cross, they said that people will understand what he was talking about. Let me read some facts about that particular time. When Jesus spoke of the cross, everyone in his audience knew that he was referring to. John MacArthur writes this, the cross was a very concrete and vivid reality. It was the instrument of execution reserved for Rome's worst enemies. It was a symbol of the torture and death that awaited those who dared to rise against the Roman Empire. And it was believed that perhaps some 30,000 crucifixions occurred during Roman authority during the lifetimes of Jesus Christ. Can you imagine? 30,000 crucifixions. And it goes, they said, after the revolt that followed the death of Herod the Great, 2,000 Jews were crucified. So they understood when Jesus said that we are to take up our cross, he's saying that we are to live, you know what? This is very radical. As dead men and women. That is the meaning to be a disciple. I have no right. Jesus said, walk down death row daily and follow me. But we are informed by the culture. It was hard to follow Jesus in a culture that I was talking about. I am all right here. God, my friends look like they're having fun. The moment I decided to follow Jesus, he said, lay down your life. I give my life to him. That doesn't belong to me. It belongs to God. And my cross is that I am living like a dead man. Freddy is not living more. Andrew is not living more. Deb is not living more. I belong to him. That is radical. Scary. But that's what Jesus is saying. We are reading the words of Jesus. So you go, and then it's not that we are picking up other crosses. No, God knows your life, my life. And when we are living, he will give us the strength. But we are to be living like that man or woman. Martin Luther said, every Christian must be a crucian and do somewhat more than those monks that made themselves wooden crosses and then carried them on their back continually, making all the world laugh at them. It's not the liturgy that we do. It's my life. It's our life. If anyone wants to be my disciple, let him or her take up his cross or her cross. Finally, if anyone decides to follow Jesus, this is what he or she must do. Let him, her, to follow me. The third thing that Jesus mentioned on this verse is that the disciple is called to leave something out. Follow me. If anyone desires to come after me, let him or let her follow me. Here Jesus literally let him follow me day by day. And to be a disciple of Jesus is to continually following after Jesus. It is the way of life. It is to be a pattern of living. Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is a way of living. That is what Jesus is saying here. Here Jesus says literally, let him follow me day by day. Let me make more like me. Hence the danger when we have children. The children follow what we do. If we are lazy, it's more likely our children are going to be lazy. If we are hardworking, it's more likely that our children are going to be hardworking. Sometimes I see little children using a florist language. They say, oh, it's the school. No. You know where they are hearing. They are hearing this. They are getting that. With Jesus, we follow Jesus. And now, why? Because he has gone ahead. Because he has shown us the way. Because he has carried a heavy cross. Jesus, the King of the universe, became a servant. I lied. Thank you, Dad, for that. Because somebody put, you know, I was this, now I'm that. I'm this and that. I told you, I have a very bad character. I was, you know, only God molded me. I have many flaws in my life. But when I remember that Jesus was the King of the universe, he is the King of the universe, the Creator, our Master, he came and humbled himself. Who am I? I cannot change. I grew up like this. I'm English. I'm Irish. I'm American. I am Latino. Jesus says, take up your cross, lay your life, follow me. So I struggle. Most of my life when I was younger, because the culture told me something different. Perhaps you are struggling today. In Christianity, it's not the Christianity that nowadays the politically correctness agenda is trying to tell us. We are inclusive. My Lord is inclusive. And there are three things. And that is what we read this evening. Let him or her deny himself, take up her cross, his cross, and follow me. End of the story. That is Christianity. That is the principle of a disciple. I want to serve God, but I want to do it this way. Perhaps God tomorrow is going to call me to go to China. Do I have to speak Mandarin? I don't know. To Africa? Back to Ecuador? Follow me, say Jesus. He have to say, he's my captain. He's my Lord. Let him deny himself or herself. Let him take up his cross. Let him or her follow me. And then as we walk, if we want to be his disciples, we are willing to be led into places that we don't understand. I don't understand the world's language yet. Or perhaps even places that are dark and scary. even painful and unpleasant, because we trust and follow the shepherd. The psalmist says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. So when Jesus is going to call you, perhaps somebody here is going to be called to go to places that we will never go. Listen to what the Lord said. The psalmist said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yet though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My friend, that is to be a disciple. Allow the good shepherd to comfort us, to anoint us. And you know what? Your cup runs over. God is going to bless us in such a way that we cannot imagine. But we need to deny ourselves. We need to take up our cross. We need to follow our master. Basically, Jesus is saying this. If anyone wishes to be counted as an adherent of mine, he must or she must once for all say farewell to herself or to himself. And follow. Let me read some verses from Hebrews and then we pray. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 to 25. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some have in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. That is what we do when we come to church. We like to hear what we like to hear. But the Lord maybe is calling you. Christianity is radical. And when we understand that, revival comes. He will bless this nation again. But this is what Jesus says. Jesus is not saying, no, we are to do this, we are to be inclusive, we are to be politically correct. No, Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. He's our shepherd. He will anoint you and anoint me with his oil. He will look after you. He will look after me. He will look after our families. Because we are about to give him glory. That is what pleases him. May the Lord help us this week to be his disciples. Not just casual Christians that we come on Sundays and we sing praises, but we don't obey him during the week. But somebody who have denied himself, herself, have taken up his or her cross and have followed the master. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, is sometimes your words are difficult to swallow. Because maybe the culture we are living, the society we are living, is shouting something different to our lives. But Father, this is what Jesus Christ, your Son, spoke. And it's an invitation for us to be your disciples. Father, help us to deny ourselves every day.
Help us to take up our cross. Help us to live as dead men and women, because we are living just for you. And help us to follow you so people can see you in our lives. So, Father, help us to be your disciples. Because the cause of our calling is our lives. Because we give our lives back to you. Because our lives belongs to you. So, Father, thank you for your word, and we pray your blessing upon our lives to be your disciples for your glory. Amen.